Something she went on to say after that. She said, but even now. Martha said to Jesus, but even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask Him. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking about a dream that is dead or is on life support, can you say with me, but even now,
even now,
even now,
even now,
God can raise that dream.
God can raise that dream.
Amen, amen. He can help you accomplish it. You know, I need you to say this, it's possible.
It's possible.
Can you feel hope rising in you when you say that? It's possible. Yeah, with God it's possible. With God it's possible. You need to believe that, but you know, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to achieve this big dream. I'm encouraging us for big dreams. I'm encouraging us for dreams that you can't do on your own. Yeah, right, Luann? Listen, one time the Pharisees stopped Peter and said, well, Peter, does your master pay taxes? And Peter said, yeah. And then Peter went on home and Jesus stopped him before he could come in the house. He says, Peter, let me ask you, do the kings of this world take tribute of their children or strangers? And Peter said, strangers. And so Jesus said, well, then the children are free, but nevertheless, so that we don't offend them, I want you to get a second job and save the money to pay the taxes. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say get a second job. What did he say? He said, go down to the sea, cast in a hook, and the first fish you pull up will have a gold coin in its mouth, and give that to them. So what I'm telling you is Jesus taught supernatural provision. We serve a supernatural God. So why are we always thinking it's got to be up to our heart? You know, we just got to hold on a little harder. We got to get a second job, a third job. No. I'm preaching to you this morning supernatural help. That's what we should be living in. We don't live in the natural. We have a supernatural God. But you know, if you pursue this, you're going to get knocked down. And I've been knocked down many times. And I've gotten up. And that's the key. You know, I got knocked down one time so hard that I had to lock my guns up in a chest and give the key to somebody else. Because I didn't want to shoot myself in a moment of despair. Has anyone ever been knocked down that hard?
Sure.
Okay. All right, I know what you're talking about. That's when a former wife left 20 years ago. And someone told me, you'll never be happy again. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And 18 years ago, I got Lisa. I wish you were here with me this morning. I got Lisa. I got beauty for ashes. I got joy for tears. Because I got knocked down and got up. And here's what I say. If you get knocked down, try and land looking up at Jesus. Because if you can look up at Jesus, He'll pull you up. He'll pull you up. But you have to have a big dream. I'm talking big dreams. I'm talking dreams you can't do on your own. That you're going to have God's help. Isn't that a good place to be? That's a great place to be. You know, let me tell you about a dream David had. David was 17, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David went down to bring cheese and bread to the army. You could say he went down to bring cheese and crackers to the soldiers. He's not a soldier. He gets down there, and the Philistines line up on this side, and Israel lines up on that side, and out comes Goliath. And he calls out for 40 days. He says, send me a man, and if I defeat him, you'll be our servants. But if he defeats me, we'll be yours. But send me a man that I can fight him. And so I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel 17, verse 25. It says, and the men of Israel says, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter for wife and make his father free of taxes in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this guy? He says, well, say what? Say what? David got a dream that day. He got a dream, a big dream, that he was going to be married to the king's daughter. He was going to be enriched, and he was going to have no taxes. And that was a big enough dream to pull him out there to fight Goliath. That's why he fought Goliath. I mean, yes, he fought for the honor of Israel. I get that. But the Bible says that that's what caught his attention, that big dream. And you need a big dream. You know, can I suggest a big dream to you? It's in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 has got a big dream. And Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 is when the world changed, when God found a man who would believe him, Abraham. And the Bible says in Genesis 12, and God said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land I will show you. And he said seven things. I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make your name great. Number four, you shall be a blessing. Number five, I will bless those who bless you. Number six, I will curse him who curses you. And number seven, in you shall all the families of the world be blessed. Wow. And did you hear all the I wills? Those are God's I wills. I will, I will, I will, I will, God said to Abraham. He said, get out of your country. And I think what God is saying to us today is get out of an old way of thinking. Yeah. Get out of depending on something other than God. Yes. Get out of thinking that the government's going to solve this for you. Get out of thinking that welfare is the answer. Get out of thinking that you, whoever you work for, that's your source. No. God wants you to get out of that and come to a new land where you know that God is your source. Yes. Your only source. And your success is guaranteed because God loves you. And someone might say, well, that was the promise to Abraham and they're Jews. Yes, that's right. But I got the solution, which is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where it says, Christ has redeemed us from the law, having redeemed us from the curse, for it is written, whoever hangs on a tree is cursed. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And it says in verse 29 of that chapter, if you belong to Christ, all the promises God gave to Abraham, he's given to you. So here's what I'm telling you this morning. I'm telling you that Jesus hung on a cross so that you might have those sevenfold blessings that God gave to Abraham. Jesus died to give you those blessings. And isn't it disrespectful of us if we don't take those blessings? Do we know where those blessings? You know, I think God wants to bless us and prosper us because I think God wants us to feed the poor. I don't think God wants the government to feed the poor. I think God hates it when the poor look to the government as the solution to their problems. I think they ought to be looking to the church. I think the church should be feeding the poor. I think the church should be helping the homeless. I think the church should be doing all these things. And of course, it takes money. But I think God hates the fact that the poor look to the government. You know, the government is godless. The government hates many of the things we love. The government thinks abortion is a great idea. The government thinks that prayer should not be in school. And the government thinks that men can marry men and that's all good. You know, do you think God likes the people of the world looking to that for the solution? No. You know, a few weeks ago, I got together with some Christians. We bought some food. And we sent out 275,000 meals to starving children all over the world. 275,000 meals. Now, don't you know God loves that? Do you think Jesus identifies with that? You know, there's a day coming, Jesus said. It's going to be a great white throne judgment. And Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he's going to turn to some people on his right. And he's going to say, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because I was hungry and you fed me. And they're going to say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? And he's going to say, when you fed those starving children, you fed me. He's going to say, when you help that homeless single mom, you were helping me. Think of the glory of it. When you help those poor people, you were helping me. When you took that baby into your house, on that crack baby, and raised that baby, you were raising me. Wow. What an honor. What an honor to help the Lord Himself. That's what He's calling us to do. And you know, all this takes money. You know, I'm not a what's derisively called a prosperity preacher, but I'm not a poverty preacher either. Aren't you glad I'm not a poverty preacher? Oh my gosh. You know, someone says, well, Peter was poor. I don't know if he's poor or not. The Bible doesn't say. And since the Bible doesn't say, I don't need to take a position on it. But I know that Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Now, if the Holy Spirit didn't want me to preach that, He shouldn't have written in the Bible. But if He writes in the Bible, I'm going to preach it. Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
You're not going to criticize me for it, are you?
No.
Okay. You know, money is not evil. The love of money is evil. But not money. Money's necessary. We just can't fall in love with it. We just can't keep all of it. So I'm talking about achieving a big dream. Whether it's a business, a ministry, raising a family, getting a better job. But what keeps us from reaching our dreams? How can we give up on our dreams? I think we give up on our dreams because we disqualify ourselves. You know, someone says, I'm not smart enough. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too weak. People think I'm foolish. Well, let me invite you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I got good news. If you feel foolish this morning, if you feel weak this morning, if you feel like you haven't got it all together, I got good news for you. So 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not many millionaires are called with the honor of preaching the gospel to the world. Not many billionaires are called. Not many movie stars are called with the honor of carrying the flag of Jesus to the world. You know, Steve Jobs, not called to lift up the name of Jesus. Warren Buffett, as far as I can tell, not called with the honor of preaching in the name of Jesus. You know, Bill Gates, as far as I can tell, not called. These famous people, as you're checking out in the grocery store, you see all their faces, as far as I can tell, they're not called. And they'll never be heard of again in heaven because they're not called. But you're called. The fact you're sitting here this morning means you're called with the greatest honor God can give someone. And the next verse says, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling foolish, in verse 27 it says, for God has chosen. Don't you love that word? Chosen. Do you know the privilege you have of being chosen this morning? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the mighty. And the despised things and the things that are base, God has chosen. And the things that are not. See, that's us. We're the things that are not. God has chosen to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh would glory in His presence. And I'll tell you how it worked out in my life. When I was going to Bible college, I felt God call me to be a lawyer. Now, I know that sounds backwards. You know, in the ministry, called to be a lawyer, that sounds backwards. But that's how it was. But I didn't have any money. I was the poorest person. You know, I was one of the poorest people you'd ever met. We were in Bible college. We were living on food stamps. We were living on the grocery store gave us out-of-date milk and cottage cheese. Can you imagine that? I don't think they'd do that today. They give that to pigs today. But they gave it to us. And on special days, there's a big dumpster trash can behind the supermarket. On Thanksgiving, I'd climb in that at night and I'd fish around in that garbage to try and find something good for us. So when I got called to go to law school, I didn't have any money to go to law school. Come on. Come on. Are you kidding me? So I found a law school in Chicago. You couldn't go, but they would mail you stuff. It was a correspondence law school. I mean, no one makes it that way. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. So for 4 years, I was doing this correspondence law school. And until the day I walked in to take the bar exam, I had never stepped foot in a real law school. And I'd never sat face to face and had anyone teach me, ever, a human being, a live human being. And people laughed when I said I was going to pass the bar that way. But they stopped laughing when I passed the bar on the first try. On the first try. In a year that had the lowest pass rate for decades, 65% failed that year, the year I passed. People from Harvard failed. People from Stanford failed. But I didn't fail because the blessing of God was on my life, the supernatural blessing, the blessing I'm talking about for you to accomplish your dreams, that same blessing on you to do something that no one believes you can do. So here's what I think happened. I think one day in heaven, God said to the angels, we need to raise up a lawyer who will preach my name. And the angel said, okay, well, here's three guys from Harvard. Here's two guys from Stanford, three guys from Yale. God said, no way. No way, Jose. If I raise those guys up, they'll take the credit. Who else you got? They looked around. Well, there's Mosley. He's going to correspondence law school. God said, that's my man. That's my man. Because if I raise up Mosley, he'll give me the glory. And so I want to say to you today, to God be the glory for anything I've accomplished, for passing the bar exam, and for everything that came after. To God be the glory. And that's who he's looking for, people who will do that. Now the second reason, so the first reason we think we don't have the intelligence, the second reason we don't think we have what we need, we don't have the money. Well, I dropped out of college. Well, I never finished high school. Well, I don't have the friends. I don't have the connections. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about David again. You remember David? We talked about Goliath. Goliath had a sword. Did David have a sword? No. Well, Goliath had a shield. Did David have a shield? No, he didn't. Well, Goliath had a spear. Did David have a spear?
No.
Well, Goliath had armor bearer. Did David have an armor bearer going before him, you know? No. Well, Goliath had armor to protect him. Did David have anything to protect him? Well, what did David have? Well, look what I found in my pocket. Look what I found in my pocket. It's a stone. That's what he had. Did he have military training? No. Had he gone to boot camp? No. Was he even in the army? No. You know, Goliath was a big guy. By some accounts, 7 feet tall. By other, about 9. Pretty much my size. No, that's not true. Cedric's size. No, that's not true. Maybe Cedric's boy. There. Okay, now we're getting closer. He had a stone and God. And what I'm telling you this morning is a stone, a little something, and God can defeat a well-armed, well-trained, determined enemy. For you too. All you need is a little something and God. So I don't want you to disqualify yourself because you don't think you have everything. I mean, I see it's going through your mind, well, do I have what I need? All you need is a little something and God. Faith. All you need is a little something and have faith in God, Jesus said. And the last reason we disqualify ourselves sometimes is the mistakes we've made. You know, we look back at our life. I mean, we're here in church. We're all looking nice, clean. Everybody took a shower at least a week ago. But we remember, and we haven't told anybody this, but some of the terrible mistakes we've made. And so God can really, you know, we're not expecting, well, God can't possibly get over what I did. I mean, oh my gosh, if you knew. I mean, I ruined my own life. Okay, I lost every chance I had. I made those mistakes. And I say to that, if you sit here and tell me, well, I've made too many mistakes to do this, I'm going to say, come on, don't you read your Bible? What about David? I mean, David slept with another man's wife and then killed her husband. Wow. And yet, at the end of his life, he was the greatest king, reigning as the greatest king Israel ever had. And God said of him, despite his mistakes, he's a man after my own heart. And he was so great that when Jesus came, people cried out, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on us. That's how great David was, in spite of his mistakes. So don't tell me your mistakes count you out. And Rahab, you know who Rahab is? Rahab was a prostitute in Jericho. She was a prostitute in a pagan city. And when Jericho fell, she went with the children of Israel. And I'm sure she said, no one's going to want me. I've slept with 1,000 men for money. Come on, who's going to want me? And yet she married one of the princes of Israel and was the great-grandmother of David and is in the family tree of Jesus. So prostitution won't count you out or anything else. So don't you dare disqualify yourself. Don't you dare say, I can't do this because of X, Y, or Z. Now, I have to tell you, God wants to make you a champion. But he can't make you a champion until you've been knocked down and get up. You know, there's a lot of men who thought they were promising boxers, but they couldn't take a hit. And they never made it to the top because they can't take a hit. And if you're going to do this, if you're going to pursue this dream I'm talking about, this big dream, you've got to be able to take a hit and get up. Who knows who Buster Douglas is? Yeah. Buster Douglas, in 1990, fought Mike Tyson, the heavyweight champion of the world. And no one gave Buster Douglas a chance. And in the eighth round, Mike Tyson knocked him down. And people say, well, that's it. Because anyone that Mike Tyson knocked down never got up. They never got up. But Buster Douglas got up. And he had a one-minute break because the bell rang right then. In the ninth round, Mike Tyson tried to finish him, but he couldn't. In the tenth round, Buster Douglas did the unimaginable. He knocked out Mike Tyson and became the heavyweight champion of the world because he got up. He got up. Can you say he got up?
He got up.
Yes. And he got up because he had a big dream. He told his mom, I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. And his mom died about a month before that fight. So he was fighting for his mom. And you know how boys will fight for their mom. He had a big dream. He had a dream that was bigger than the hit he took. And so he got up. And so here's what I'm telling you. If you get knocked down once, get up. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you get knocked down twice, I'm telling you this morning, get up. Because 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, God always causes us to triumph through him who loved us. And if you get knocked down three times, I'm telling you, get up. Because Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And if you get knocked down four times, I'm telling you, have faith in God and get up. Because Romans 8:37 says we're more than a conqueror through him who loved us. And if you get knocked down five times, I say to you, have faith in God and get up. Because all things work together for the good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. You know, I don't want you to worry about failing. It's up to God. Once you put God on your team, that's his job to get you there. That's his problem. And what I think God is saying to you today is to arise, to get up and go again for that big dream. You know, you might say, well, Moses, I'm a long way from where I want to be on this. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? He was living in a pig pen, raising swine, and he came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and here I am starving? I will arise and go to my father. And he says he arose, and he was still a long way off. The father saw him and ran to him and kissed him and forgave him and welcomed him back. You're still a long way off when the father saw him. So you may be a long way from where you want to be, but if you'll just start, God will run your direction. Like he did for the prodigal. He'll run if you'll just start. Even if you're a long way off. It's okay to be a long way off. So, here's what I want to say to you. There was a king who sent his son on a journey, on a mission. And the king sent word to his son and said, come home. And the son said, I can't, I'm sick. And the king sent word back and said, you just start, come as close as you can, and I'll meet you there. And that's what God is saying to you today. If you'll just start, God says, come as close as you can, and I will meet you there. I will leave heaven and meet you there. Because I'm talking again about a supernatural victory for us. God wants a supernatural victory for you in your life. So can you say with me today, I will arise and be blessed in the name of Jesus. Can you say, I will arise and conquer in the name of Jesus? I don't want you to worry about how. God knows how. God knows how to bring the right people into your life. God knows how to make you the person you need to be. And if you're willing to arise, will you stand with me? I'm going to pray for you. If you're willing to arise and pursue that dream that God gave you, stand with me now. And let's pray together. Let's pray together. In fact, let me pray for you. Lord, you see these people. You see them, Father. It's more important that you see them than I see them. But you see them. And you know what they want to do. You know they have a desire to be all that you called them to be. I ask you now to bless them in Jesus' name. I ask you to empower them in Jesus' name. I ask you to bring every dream that you put in their heart. Make it happen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you guys, I don't want to leave today's service without praying. I do want to leave today's service without praying that if you don't know Christ today, that you do know him. Would you just, everyone, pray out loud with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. And make me the person you want me to be. I declare over you guys, I prophesy over you, that if you will do this, that God will make you the person he wants you to be, that you will overcome every obstacle and you will defeat every enemy in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Pastor, do you want to come and finish us? Thank you, God.
Amen. Don't you guys appreciate Mosley?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, man. That was awesome. Would you guys go ahead and be seated? In just a moment, our amazing greeting team is going to be passing the offering bags down the